D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, we've been debating the Quinnen Williams trade from the Jets to the Cowboys and whether the Titans should have done the same thing with Jeffrey Simmons. So let me ask you the same question we asked ourselves. If the Jets would have offered, excuse me, if the Cowboys would have offered you the same package that the Jets did, or excuse me, if the Cowboys would have offered you the same package, the 2026 second round pick, the 2027 first round pick, and a young defensive tackle for Jeffrey Simmons, would you have taken it, yes or no?
In a heartbeat, I would have taken it. And the reason is that this is a team that is years away, at least several years away, from competing at the highest levels. By that time, I think Jeffrey Simmons will be on the way down. It's one of the reasons I wasn't upset when they allowed Derrick Henry to go, because as much as I loved it for Derrick that he had a chance to go to a contender, in this case Baltimore, I thought it was good for the Titans to free up the cap space to be able to then start to build, because by the time this team is ready to go, Derrick Henry will be, you would assume, on the downward side of the hill of his career. Now, he's such a physical monster that maybe he would last longer that way at the highest levels than people expect. But for most players, and I would include Jeffrey Simmons in this, I think that by the time the Titans get done, their veteran stars are going to be less capable of helping them win. And I think they're much better off using that capital of those players, in this case, Jeffrey Simmons, to bring in younger players that you can build so that when Cam Ward is ready in a few years and when other young guys are reaching their prime, you've got other young guys reaching their prime there as well. Now, having said that, you don't know what's going to happen with draft choices. You can hit on draft choices, you can miss on them, etc. But what we do know is that Jeffrey Simmons can play like Reggie White had a baby with Bruce Smith, and he's the most monstrous defensive lineman in the history of the NFL. And for the next 3 years, this team isn't going anywhere anyhow. And so I think bringing in bringing in draft capital would help. That's where I am with that. As much as it would pain me to see such a great Tennessee Titan go.
I want to ask you about the other trade that the New York Jets made today involving one of the Titans' division rivals. The Jets traded Sauce Gardner to the Colts for 2 first-round picks and A.D. Mitchell. What was your reaction to that deal? Was it a good deal for the Colts?
I thought it was a great deal for the Colts because of where they are right now. The Colts had been basically an also-ran for a long time. And all of a sudden now they've got an offense that's performing at a historic level, at least so far this year. No reason to think that they won't continue to perform at a very, very high level on offense. Their vulnerability is their defense. And giving up 2 first-round draft choices and a receiver, but especially those draft choices, mortgages their future for today. But your window to win a Super Bowl is usually not open for very long unless your name is Tom Brady. The window opens and it closes, and that's it. And I think the Colts believe that right now that window is open because of the serendipity of having the offense come together all at the same time like they have. And they want to maximize what they can do on defense to maximize their opportunity to win a Super Bowl right now. And if that means mortgaging the future, it means mortgaging the future. That's one of the reasons I thought that, especially if he were healthy now, a good possibility would be to trade, for example, Jeffrey to the Bills, who are one of the worst teams in the league at run yards allowed per carry on defense, or Philadelphia, whose defense is not so good right now, or the Steelers, who are leading their division but have one of the worst statistical defenses in the NFL. I thought those were the kind of teams that would mortgage the future in order to get a defensive player that can help them get to the Super Bowl right now. The problem is that Jeffrey is injured, and who knows how long it'll be this year before he's fully healthy again. But when it comes to helping the Colts, I think the Colts, yes, mortgaged their future. And was it a good move? Yes, it was a great move because the window for them has unexpectedly opened. And let's see if they can go through it.
Now, another team, Trevor, that made a trade is the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they made the trade with the Tennessee Titans and getting Draymond Jones. I think this is going to end up being a really good move by the Titans because you're talking about a guy that at the beginning of the season, you probably would have gotten maybe a sixth-round pick for him if you're trading him then. But he's played so well, in particular the last few games, that you got a guy that you trade away for a fifth that could end up being a fourth-round pick. These are the type of moves that the Titans need to make when they're unloading good players, not great ones, but unloading good players, and are getting in return, day two picks.
Right. I agree with you on that one, Derek. And the reason is that the situation, right? The Ravens, Lamar Jackson had been injured. They lost a bunch of games. They are still in position to make the playoffs, but they don't have any more time to waste. Their defense has struggled, and by bringing Draymond Jones is to hopefully upgrade their pass rush, they're trying to salvage their ability to get to the playoffs and make some noise there. So I thought that was a good trade on both sides for all the things that you said. Look at the Saints. They just traded a tackle to the Chargers. As Titans fans know, both offensive tackles for the Chargers against the Titans last week were injured in the first half, and the Chargers think that they have a team that can make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs, but not with backup offensive tackles that they had on their roster. So they made this trade. It was good for the Saints because it was a team that wants to win now and was willing to give up more than they probably should have. And it's good for the Saints because this is a team that's not ready to win quite yet, but they got extra capital.
Now, because the fans have been talking, hey, why didn't the Titans make more moves? Yeah, they traded away one guy. We understand that, there are a faction of the fan base that wanted, Jeffrey Simmons to be a part of a trade deal because he would have garnered the most of any player on this team. But do you think it was just teams looked at the Titans and said, you know what, this is what we'll give you and nothing more, and they chose not to make moves based upon that outside of the Draymond Jones trade? Because there were other guys on like the radar as far as guys that would be traded or had the potential of being traded.
Right. And, one of those guys I thought they would trade is Chig Okonkwo, tight end. He's been showing flashes this year more than he ever really has as a Titan. And it's one of those situations where a contender had a need that Chig might have filled. The Green Bay Packers believe that they could win the Super Bowl this year. Their stud tight end, Tucker Kraft, is injured. He's on injured reserve. I think he's out for the season. And their backup is not a great receiving tight end. Well, as a move tight end who can line up at H-back, in a two-point stance and then move back and forth across the formation and go down the field as a pass catcher, Chig is a lot better than anything else Green Bay has, and it surprises me that a deal there didn't happen. So that's one of the other players that I thought that had value beyond his production so far because of the need of the other team, but nothing happened. I worry that the Titans, I don't see a clear vision for what they want to do with these trades right now because they trade away two young defensive backs for next to nothing. And then their other starting defensive back, Snead, is on injured reserve. And okay, so you show that you were willing to get rid of those DBs, but you're not willing to trade Chig, or maybe you were, but weren't offered enough. It's hard for me to see what the vision is. I can easily see what the Jets' vision is. The Jets' vision is we're not going to win now anyway with Sauce Gardner, cornerback, and Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle, even though they're both playing at an all-pro level still. We're not going to win now with them. We're not winning now with them. Let's maximize their value in a trade so that we can build up and win down the road. That's a clear vision. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but you can point it out. With the Titans right now, it's kind of weird with the trades that they've made and the ones that they haven't, without knowing what they were and weren't offered. Maybe they were just offered low-ball offers on some of those other players. I don't know, which is why I don't want to definitively say that the Titans are messing up. I'm just saying that I don't see a clear vision right now as to what their trade philosophy is.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN, NFL and college analyst. Now, Trevor, this weekend with the Titans, yes, they lost, and I think many people thought they were going to, but I think they played a lot better than I thought they would, especially on defense. Did you see this team or individuals take steps in the right direction? Because, again, you look at what the defense was able to do. You know, Cam Ward was – he was okay, wasn't great. But you saw some good things, whether it was from DK, Gunnar Helm, guys like that, that you are going to depend on moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. There were some big plays that were made, and we're not used to seeing that from this Titans team. Cody Barton had that pick six, and it was a great pick six. It was zone coverage. They ran a receiver inside where Barton was, I think, to widen him a little bit in the zone to make a little space for quarterback to drill that ball into his intended receiver, and Barton didn't take the bait. He was watching the quarterback, and when Justin Herbert was looking at that one receiver the whole time and started his throwing motion, Barton jumped the route, got a pick six, and that's the kind of thing that we're like, wow, holy, well, what just happened? I mean, I almost thought I was hallucinating that, because you're not used to seeing that for the Titans. The punt return for a touchdown, DK did a great job. I mean, he showed a lot of speed, good moves. He made two guys miss, stepped out of one tackle in making him miss. Really good stuff. But the rest of the guys, the blocking off on the right side where they made that wall was terrific. There were so many outstanding blocks on that punt return. It was crazy. And my thought is, well, okay, where is that going forward? Now the offense didn't score a touchdown. You know, they had fourth and goal at the one. They couldn't punch it in. The Chargers get the ball and drive it 99 yards for a touchdown, and that was kind of the difference in the game from there. But the offense still is not getting the job done. But to see them rise up and make a few plays once in a while does give a glimmer of hope that they could continue with things like that.
Trevor, before we let you go, tonight the first edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings will be released. Yesterday, Derek and I talked about where we think Vanderbilt will fall on the list. Both of us believe that the Commodores will be outside the top 12 after losing at Texas on Saturday. If you were in charge of these rankings, where would you have Vanderbilt in edition number one?
You know, I think where they are right now is probably where the committee is going to put them. Right now they sit at 15 in the AP, so I think that's about where they're going to be. The reason is, when you look at their schedule and you look at quality wins, the LSU win doesn't look as good now as it did. The Missouri win does. The Missouri win is a quality win. But other than that, you can't really point to wins. And I think the committee this year, and we're about to find out, we're going to learn what the committee values this year. I think quality wins is going to be a big part of it, based on what some of the insiders like Heather Dinich that actually talked to these folks will take, you know, or what they'll do. But one thing I'm very interested in when it comes to that, and this will affect Vanderbilt as well, is the eye test versus the stats and the numbers and the metrics and things like that. Because Ohio State right now is number one AP. A lot of people think that Ohio State is the best team in the country, but they really don't have a quality win right now because of what happened in the Texas game. So they don't, and then, you know, Penn State is no longer what we thought they would be. So will the committee have them ranked number one? I don't know. The best win in the nation so far is Indiana dominating Oregon on the road. And I would think Indiana's got a very good chance of being that number one team. Texas A&M doesn't have one win that's like that, but they did beat Notre Dame, but they gave up over 40 points, and it was a squeaker of a game. It wasn't dominating like Indiana over Oregon. But overall, when you look at the strength of record, Texas A&M has the hardest strength of record, which is another one of those metrics that determines what, you know, how difficult your schedule is. I think the committee will give them a lot of credit for that. So if the committee puts Ohio State at number one, it's good for Vanderbilt, because that means that the committee is less interested in those quality wins than they are the eye test. If they put Ohio State as far back as number three, then Vanderbilt's going to have to beat Tennessee. Going to have to beat Tennessee in order to make it.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. We will get back to your reaction. We will also discuss one Titans player who was not moved today, one we spent a lot of time discussing yesterday. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.